Way off Washington Street. The slasher cut both their throats, and at least one case, a bloody message was left behind. Both men survived the attacks. Police say that the blood messages were characteristic of symbols in an unspecified Asian language. Experts have been brought in to interpret the messages, according to sources familiar with the case. The Gang Task Force and the Narcotics Division, blah, 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 blah. Two other attacks in September may also be related to the spree, police said. So what we've got here from the Saturday San Francisco Chronicle is violence against the homeless, hate crimes against the homeless. And we have hate crimes in San Francisco. Deputy Chief Richard Holder said police are trying to alert people living on the street to use shelters. This is something of a joke, since the shelters cover less than one-fifth the number of homeless people in San Francisco. We're trying to ask anyone for information about any attacks we have missed, Holder said. There's a lot of crime against these people, and folks don't always report it. Paul Bowden, executive director of the Coalition on Homelessness, said homeless people should sleep in small groups to protect themselves. Of course, under the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz, it would be very difficult to do that. Although, in fact, homeless people do that now. It becomes more difficult because the larger the group, the more likely you are to get busted by the police. Unless our city council gets off its collective butts, kind of gets up off their soft, cushiony beds, and starts doing something about the criminalization of poor people at night in Santa Cruz. Give a call to 429-3550 and ask Catherine Byers to sponsor a resolution immediately rescinding the sleeping parts of the sleeping ban or establishing permitted camping in certain areas, as could be done under the current camping ban. Something you can do. And if you have any questions about how to put this, you want some help on how to phrase it to the city council, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Anytime. I'll be in and out, and I'll be picking up my messages. And, of course, come to city council meeting. We talked about the afternoon session of the city council at 3:30 and a couple of suspect items coming up on the 10th on Tuesday. There's also the evening session where you can talk at 7 o'clock during oral communications and talk about this issue directly, get this council to do something. I expect that the new council members, will be in the audience, or should be, if not in the audience, at least watching the show from the comfort of their beds and their television sets. Said Paul Bowden, again continuing the San Francisco article, that is the best way, people should sleep in groups, that is the best way to respond. In almost all these instances, it's one person attacking individuals. It's incredibly difficult and isolating to sleep outside alone. Let people congregate together until they catch who is doing this. It's the old saying, safety in numbers. Bowden said anti-homeless violence has happened before. It usually follows a lot of nasty rhetoric against the homeless. That has been a side effect of these kind of public-initiated campaigns against homeless people. We're talking, of course, about Whitewash Willie Brown up in San Francisco, the mayor of San Francisco, and his ongoing worse-than-Jordan anti-homeless laws under the wonderful district attorney Terrence Hallinan, who we once thought was a liberal, a radical even, who is now kind of singing the same old sickening song that Jordan sang, that Agnes sang before Jordan, and that now Willie Brown is singing. And it's a song, of course, to lure the businesses and to pander to the bigots. And it's a bad tune, no matter how sweet it sounds to the ears of some. Well, we're winding into the last 9 minutes of Bathrobes Pierre's Broadside, so if any of you hot-mouthed callers want to spit something out, you better get it in fast. I'm afraid we are not going to really have time to play Bear Lincoln, who is one of the folks at the Police Violence Forum. We're going to have time. Hopefully, we'll be playing all the tapes we got, or many of them, from what exactly was the name of that very interesting... the forum we went to yesterday. Ah, yes. The forum I went to yesterday was the National Tribunal on Police Brutality and Misconduct. And, God, we got hours of tape around the Stolen Lives presentation, Gary Woods of the Human Rights Defense Committee, Charles Vaughn Jr., whose father was shot dead for wielding a corkscrew on a roof in Seaside, Mel Mason, Seaside Council member, was officiator, John Burris, civil rights attorney in the Rodney King case. Was there, looking pretty slick and high rent in his fancy sharkskin suit. And he also said some interesting things. Lots of tape on that, which I'm hoping we can put onto loop tape and have available for the station to be playing, you know, in the hours ahead. But unfortunately, not in the 7 minutes we have left in Bathrop's Piers Broadsides. We're going to be leaving some literature here for all you listeners, perhaps of future broadcasters who come after me, if such a thing is possible, want to read from this stuff. They can pass it on to listeners. Really, a lot of interesting things. Of course, then there was a lot of stuff around Mumia, and I imagine that's also being covered, hopefully, in, on other shows. Mumia, the prisoner of conscience who the Pennsylvania Supreme Court condemned to death again. And there was a demonstration about that issue yesterday. And hopefully someone will be covering that. Well, the most somber event, of course, that we've discussed has been the death of Sean Alimi. Shitkicker Sean, as I call him. A man who served tens of thousands of meals to people, whose loud, happy voice was heard all along the mall as he kind of broke down the barriers that separated people as they rushed along in their middle-class lives, many of them out there, and provided food to the rest of us and our other lives. I continue to believe that what he would have wanted as a true memorial to his life, of course he wants to end world hunger, and that's what he and John Earth and Feed the People are going to be doing, at least in their own small way here in Santa Cruz. But I think at Santa Cruz, my focus is now going to be on demonstrations this winter to end the laws that criminalize the poor. This is the shopping season for the merchants coming up, the most vulnerable time for the merchants when they have to respond to these demonstrations because they're so paranoid about losing their shopping season. And we should make them lose their shopping season unless they grant basic civil rights to homeless people and join essentially in a coalition to with the rest of the progressives who have won the city hall to make some radical and fundamental changes in how poor people are treated in this town. But let's take a little moment to smile. I'm going to play a little bit from the Jolly Roger Comedy Troupe, and then we're going to go out on a Tom Paxton song from his album Politics, and then we'll be coming back again on Thursday. Actually, you'll probably be hearing a tape from me on Thursday, because on Thursday at 5:30 is the Happy John Dine Memorial. I invite you all to come to the town clock for a hot meal, for the compliments of Joe Schultz, a march to the Happy Corner, where Happy John was shot at Soquel and Front Streets, and then at 8 o'clock a forum on campus. I also invite people to come to the Huff meeting we're having later today. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. That'll be at 3 o'clock at Noah's Bagels. I want to thank you for hanging with me here in Bathrop's Piers Broadsides. I did hear from Dan Hopkins, the co-founder of the City Hall Sleepers protest with Sean Alimi. Unfortunately, he hasn't been able to call in, it sounds like, so maybe we can hear from him when we come on the air again, either in tape form on Thursday or live next Sunday with the next edition of Bathrop's Piers Broadsides for his thoughts on Sean Alimi and what needs to be done this winter.
San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge stretches gracefully from the Presidio to the Marin Headlands, offering an unparalleled view of the Pacific Ocean and, perhaps not so coincidentally, a classic opportunity for a suicidal leap into the bay. Washington State's legislation affirming a person's right to die and the ever-rising number of people leaping from San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge has finally resulted in the creation of the Bridge Patrol, teams of professionals who patrol slowly from one end of the Golden Gate Bridge to the other, on the lookout for the lonely, the disturbed, the investors in ethanol, people who have given up and are ready to end it all. The Bridge Patrol hopes to reduce the rate of the over 1,000 suicide deaths that have taken place since the Golden Gate Bridge was built, and maybe by counseling these disoriented people, save some lives.
Man, this job is depressing.
You mean strolling the bridge from end to end, looking for lonely people in suicidal despair, is starting to weigh you down?
No, Larry, it's having to spend all day watching these damn tourists. Some people just shouldn't wear shorts, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, I suppose you have a point.
Hey, there's somebody who looks ready to jump.
You mean that sad old man over there tearing up his wallet-sized photos and letting them flutter into the bay?
Nah. Look over there at the bay with the Hooters, just staring into the distance. Let's go talk to her.
Well, okay, but I think the old man looks like he's in some kind of existential despair.
Hey, sugar!
Shut up, Joe. That's no way to...
Hey, Betty! You in any kind of existential despair?
Joe, I don't think that's the kind of approach the bridge commissioner's had.
Hey, babe! I got something to do you some good!
Oh, no. The old man jumped.
Well, hey, it's too late now, right? Hey, sweet thing! How you doing?
Fuck off, asshole.
Joe, let me handle this. Look, miss, my friend and I were just worried that you might be distraught and disoriented.
Distraught and disoriented is what I am. Existential despair is what I do. Fuck off.
Yes, yes, of course, of course. Have a nice day. Or not. Joe, that was a bad call. We lost that old man over the side. We should call the harbor patrol or something.
You want to start your first day on the job with a straight loss? Be my guest, Larry. I'm going to keep on walking. Hey, there's somebody who looks ready to die for the pearls. See that?
Oh, my, you're right. There's a skinny young man balancing precariously on the railing, staring darkly into the swirling waters below. Let's save him.
Sure, why not? Hey, skinny guy, you doing okay?
I want to end it all.
Is there something that happened recently that made you feel this way?
Well, yeah, I lost my job.
You lost your job?
Yeah, I lost my job. I'll never find another job.
No shit, sucker. Jobs are almost impossible to find around here. Why, the last time I got fired, it took me 3 damn years to find another job at goddamn McDonald's. I mean, it's tough out there. Must be thousands of people are looking for the same damn job.
I know.
Joe, what have you done?
I didn't do anything. Somebody else fired the guy, for Christ's sake.
Joe, you're supposed to encourage people. You're supposed to give them hope. You're supposed to make them feel better, okay?
Okay.
And we interrupt that little bit of the Jolly Roger...
comedy troupe to give you a call from... A friend of Sean Alimi's and a man who began the City Hall Sleepers protest with him, Dan Hopkins. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good.
I was sorry to hear about Sean. I heard about it last night. Someone here where I live told me about it. And I almost didn't sleep all night thinking about it, you know. And Sean did a lot of good things in Santa Cruz. He was feeding the people on the streets, people that were hungry, especially in the cold season, you know. He did that for quite a long time, and then I guess he actually worked for Food Not Bombs before that even, and then he went out on his own and did it on his own, and then he helped me. We both thought up starting the City Hall protest for the homeless, you know, to protest the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz, and that was back on March 1st at noon. It was on a Friday. I remember very well. We had stayed up all night talking about it next to a campfire. Up at one of the state parks where we were staying, we had run out of places to go, you know, the homeless did, from the tent city that was closed down. And so anyway, we thought it up. There was actually a third person that was there too, but he never did show up at the protest, but he really motivated us to also, you know, to start the protest. And he just sat around all night, and he kept saying the same thing over and over again. Every time somebody came by the fire, he'd say, "You don't do something about it, you're not going to get anything done," you know, and he did that all night long. That's all he said, you know.
Well, you and Sean certainly did something about it.
Yeah.
Are you going to be at the Happy John Memorial on Thursday?
Thursday? What time does that take place?
That's going to be at 5:30 at the town clock.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll be marching to Happy Corner at 6, and there'll be people to speak out there.
Okay, 5:30 Thursday night?
Uh-huh, 5:30 on November 12th.
Okay. All right. Yeah, sure. And I'll try to bring Flower because I know she really wanted to do that, you know. And by the way, one of the things that Flower just told me, you know, my wife, she just told me that she had heard him say something once, you know, Sean Alimi. And what he did say was, he said that he believed that true revolution starts with loving each other, you know, and that's what she remembered him by.
Wow. You know, maybe you both can come and talk about that at the John Dine Memorial, because I think we're going to be remembering Sean as well as John.
Right. And Sean was kind of a funny person a lot of times, too, you know. He made everybody laugh a lot. I have some tapes on him, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
That was very, very funny, you know. He'd explain, you know, because there was a lot of noise in the background and stuff, but if it was explained, it was really, really funny. And when we were in the protest, you know, how the police came and took all our food and our signs and everything right there at the city hall, you know, supposedly we have constitutional rights, but it didn't work that night.
Yeah, you couldn't keep Sean down, I remember.
Right.
He would keep laughing and joking throughout the whole thing.
Right, and he did resist the police, but he did it in a loving way most of the time, you know. And, you know, he would resist if he thought we were being, treated unfairly. But he also seemed to somehow get along with them. That was an interesting combination, you know. So anyway, I know you don't have much time because you're interrupting another program, so I guess I'd probably better let you go, huh?
Well, Dan, I appreciate your calling. We've been talking to Dan Hopkins, who I used to call Dragon Sard Dan, the man who, well, you organized at the campground and you challenged the community house project as being built on toxic land, and then you took your sleeping bag and you spent 7.5 months at City Hall fighting for the right of homeless people to sleep without being arrested, and Sean did that with you.
Yep. Yeah. Right.
Let's talk about it some more.
Okay.
Thanks
right.
a lot.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Through Radio Santa Cruz.
I'm making a website, I got it to list. the war on drugs.
Calling the police, calling the demon, calling all Americans to war, war.
It is necessary to wage a new all-out offensive.
We are going to win.
The forces of the law strike back.
Suicide mission!
Supply than ever.
What has succeeded for the government is the media war.
This is drugs.
Media healed it as a big thing from the front.
Someone offers you drugs. What would you do?
This is the drug squad in action.
So it's going to be quite a struggle. Police, you know, they're quite separate from the community. They often are involved with community members only when a situation has gotten very difficult, and, you know, tensions are very high. So I hope, though, that kind of the use of force as a base is on its way out.
Yeah, I think that same type of way of testing before people became police, that they would rate out authoritarian personalities. Because I think that's at the root of the violence.
Mm-hmm.
The authoritarian personality who needs to act out their own personal problems on other innocent people, scapegoating people. And at the national level, the prison population has gone up 300% since 1980 in California, about 400% since 1977. And with the street, three strikes and you're out. People are being put away basically for 25 years to life for stealing a cookie or stealing a pizza. So the prisons, I think they've built 19 new prisons and they're going to have to build 20 more prisons just with this three strikes and you're out. So it's like a booming industry, prisons for profit. The prison guards union is one of the largest in the state, one of the largest contributors to Pete Wilson's campaign. So they're like, it's getting on the bandwagon, but they need to incarcerate people. So the drug laws, a lot of people are in prison, probably over 50% of federal prisons are staffed with people on drug offenses.
Yeah.
Which is a non-violent offense. I don't think it's any offense at all because tobacco, cigarettes kill 424,000 people a year, and that's not considered a drug offense. So the way they slant the laws as a means of social control to lock up certain marginalized people, poor people, I see the police was created as an institution by the ruling class, the 1%, the rich, to control basically poor people and keep people in their step with fear, with intimidation, with threat, with brutality.
Uh-oh.
pessimist, it's risks and frisks. Cool clicks, throw bricks, but seldom get targets. Private dicks sell hits like porno flicks to chicks. The 666 cut wig like Newt Gingrich sucks dick.
Meanwhile, the government brings Star Wars from Glock to Glockers. COP has an APB out on Chewbacca. Mr. Mayor, could I say something in your honor? Yesterday in Central Park, they got the jogger. Okay, let's get the confusion straight and ghetto Gotham. The man behind the mask you thought was Batman's Bill Clinton, who soon retire. The roof is on fire. Hanmi Chung brung the bomb as it comes from Oklahoma. Things are getting serious. Kumbaya. On the mountain, Satan offered me Manhattan. Help me, Jaja. Search me without probable cause, or that proper ammunition and for reasonable suspicion. Listen, I bring friction to your whole jurisdiction. You planted seeds in my seat when I wasn't looking. Now you ask me for my license registration. Where the fuck do I work? What the fuck is my occupation? Well, I'm an MC, I'm down with the Fugees. Mother Mary caught a flashback like Rodney. Now the cops got lollies.
The subconscious psychology that you use against me, if I lose control, will send me to the penitentiary. Is Alcatraz and shot up like El Hajj Malik Shabazz. High class can bypass when my ass gets harassed. And the buzz treat bruhs like they manhood never was. And if you too powerful, you can bug like Peter Tosh and Marley was. And my word does nothing against the feds, but my eyes stay red as I chase crazy ball heads. Word up.
Born is now the beast is loose. Born is now the beast is loose. The chase is on, I feel like the bad guy. Fifth gear, 125 like New Jersey driver. Looked in my rearview mirror, police was getting closer. Heard a roar in the sky, looked up and saw the blue thunder. My inner conscience says, throw your handkerchief and surrender. But to who? The star-spangled banner, oh. Say, can't you see cops more crooked than we? By the dawn, early night, robbing niggas for keys. Easy, low-key, crooked military. Pay taxes up my ass, but they still harass me. The streets of corruption got me busting and cussing in the concrete jungle. Thoughts being dribbled like that tall kid with tumbles. Handled by Hannibal, suitable to be a fugitive like Dr. Kimball.
Hey yo, should I slow down?
Nah, kid, go faster. Just cause they got a badge, they can still be imposters. Probable cause got flaws like dirty drawers. Meet me at the corner store so we can start the street wars. Watch out for Gestapo.
course, you're tuned to 96.3 Freak Radio Santa Cruz. You've been listening to a lot of things about cops, cop songs, cop sound bites from here locally in the Santa Cruz area, Santa Cruz Police. Cops, 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 and more cops. Cops and cops of cop-ups. Cup of cops.
Fuck you, five of us to the NYPD.
Santa Cruz wants to encourage all citizens of Santa Cruz to be aware of badge numbers of police officers. If you're in an altercation with a police officer, please note his badge number and name. And if he does not have that plane in view of you, then please ask him for a business card. You can complain, make complaints or inquiries. If you go to the Santa Cruz Library, even the police station, there's a complaint form sitting in a little thing up above the chair. You just walk in, grab it, and leave. They're in Spanish and they're in English. You can make a complaint against an officer and have the Citizens Police Review Board, which there is one here in Santa Cruz, review it and send it to the chief for the actual decision is made in front of Chief Belcher, whatever chief is there at the time, about your complaint. So always know that you can't complain to the Santa Cruz Police. Of course, you may not be taken seriously, but whoever is. Always monitor the police, watch what they're doing, see what they're doing. Get to know who they are, because they know who you are. It's a public service announcement for Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. You can get a hold of us at 427-4523. Voicemail 427-4523. You have a cop story you want to tell us, give us a call. 427-4523. Leave it on the voicemail. 2 minutes in length. Get a little altercation. Let us know about it. We'll air it.
4-2-7-4-5-2-3. The confrontation was not created by the police.
Once again, no.
Confrontation was not.
The confrontation was created by the police.
Is anarchist thought.
Anarchist to the receptionist of the word.
Very illusion.
Well, so many times he stood up in front of federal district judge Ritter that
he heard this woman to act in some fashion.
Illegally. He never pled innocent or guilty. He pled anarchy. And Ritter'd say, what's an anarchist, Hennessy? And Ammon would say, well, an anarchist is anybody who doesn't need a cop to tell him what to do. Kind of a fundamentalist anarchist. And Ritter'd say, but Ammon, you broke the law. What about that? And Ammon'd say, oh, Judge, your damn laws. The good people don't need them, and the bad people don't obey them. So what use are they?
When I was in grad school in Berkeley in the 60s, I did a lot of amphetamine.
Well, I lived there for 8 years, and I watched him, mainly watched him.
When I was in grad school,
I discovered, watching him, that anarchy...
The confrontation was created by the police.
Manufacture of consent, creation of necessary illusions, various ways of either marginalizing the general public or reducing them to apathy in some fashion.
ACDC, what time is it? If you want to get together, then you better find a better fit. The first world's first, what's new? Not much, don't touch. It's a world full of cops. Cops backstage and cops in the wings. Cops cared for the benefit of kings. Big brother cops and little sister cops and lots. It's a world full of cops. Cops on the take, taking half of what you got. Driving in the parks and walking in the parking lots. Cops that are cool and cops that are hot in lots. It's a world full of cops. Border cops and shore patrol cops on the guard. Military cops and prison cops above the yard. The finest and the fullest and the hardest of the hard and the rest. It's a world full of cops.
Monday is quote unquote free today. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abdul Jabbar.
Working for the companies and working for the banks. Monitoring the airwaves and going through the ranks. Out on the highways and in the helicopters way up high. It's a world full of cops. Cops and undercover cops, security, surveillance, and secret service cops. Cops walk in a beat and cops driving through the street. It's a world full of cops. City cops and state cops and National Guard and Bureau cops and TV cops and movie cops and uniform and plainclothes cops and riot cops and cops on top of cops on top of cops on top of cops. It's a world full of cops.
There's a war going on right now in my neighborhood, but I can't really determine which one's worse. I think the one that we're all fighting is fucked up, and that's the war inside our brains, you know? But I feel bad about all the brothers and sisters getting pulled right out of the neighborhoods, all the cities and small towns in America to go over there and fight for that bullshit. And most of them don't really have anything to do with. So I gotta send peace out to them. Also peace out to all my homies in jail. Brothers that are dead, locked up right here on Earth. Talking about the brothers in Soledad, San Quentin, all the way up to Pelicans Bay, Tracy, Chino, and all my homeboys out there in the East Coast lockdown facilities. I'm talking about Clinton, Rikers, Joliet, You know, every prison in the whole fucking world, man. That's like, you know, that's all bullshit, you know. They say slavery has been abolished except for the convicted felon. Y'all need to think about that. That lets you know what the fucking Constitution really is about, you know. A lot of my homeboys have been locked down my whole entire career. And that's some bullshit. So for them, from the Rhyme Syndicate Nice T, I'd like to send this special shout out. Fuck the police, fuck the FBI, fuck the DEA, fuck the CIA, fuck Tipper Gore, Bush and his crippled bitch. This is Ice T. I'm out of here. Told you, should have killed me last year.